We believe that you are strong by design, and you were made in God's image to have a strong body, mind, and spirit. You're listening to the number one Strength and Health Authority podcast in the world. So let's get ready to unlock your potential and transform your life in today's episode.
Hi, and welcome to the Strong by Design podcast. I'm your host for today, Coach Tanya Fines, joined by my colleague and good friend, Coach Chris Wilson. Welcome.
Well, good to be here.
Isn't it?
It is.
It's fun that we get to do this. It's kind of like almost like a little break from work.
It is you know? I don't think of this as work.
No. You know, we get to take a break. We get to actually talk about things that we are interested in, but kind of this, we were talking about before we started recording that this is what we do. It's our job. We've been doing it for a long time. I mean, I've been in this for 27 years now. Mm-hmm. You what?
Since 1999.
Yeah. So a lot 22. Of years, yeah. A lot of years of experience. So a lot of times it doesn't feel like work. So when we get to sit down and do these podcasts and talk about a very important topic, yeah. It's just like having coffee and having a conversation.
That's exactly right. Well, because we like this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we're interested. We read about stuff like this.
Yeah.
It's just on our minds. It's who we are. So right. It's a natural, it's a recurring conversation, even if we weren't podcasting, right?
Exactly. So this is, it's what we do. It's what we've done. And I think sometimes we forget that, because it's just so second nature.
Yes.
You know, we show up to work. We have a great dynamic here at work. It's like a family.
Yes.
So we're working and, you know, we're content monsters. We're constantly, I mean, everybody here works over and above, you know, a standard that's would be exceptional anywhere else. So we're grinding and crushing it every day, but because we like it, it really rarely does it feel like work.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So I think sometimes we take for granted, like we know that this is our profession, but
all the best people, I don't think they Thomas Edison, I read a quote not that long ago, basically about, you know, I never had a day in
didn't
my
work
life.
A day in his life.
Didn't
yeah.
work a day in his life. Everything that he did was out of sheer passion desire,
and love, yeah.
You know, and just you're drawn to something.
Yeah.
And if you're fortunate enough in your life, regardless of what it is that you do, you could have this. You could love flying, so you're a pilot, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
You could love service of others, so you work in some kind of service industry, mm-hmm. but you're a people person, you're a people pleaser. It makes you feel great to be able to make someone
Payback,
else feel great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, whatever it is that you do for a living, that's the one thing I would ask anybody in their lives is to find what that is and go out of your way to make that your career, your profession. Because I think so many people, unfortunately, are living in a life that they're just punching clocks and they're just making
doing
paychecks,
what
doing what they have to, but there's no real passion and desire.
Yeah.
And I feel for those people. And there's moments in my life where I've had those years
I think we all do.
Of work, for sure. But finding something that fills you up, that doesn't feel like work. It just feels like, I can't wait to get back. You know, let me laugh here. Sometimes on Mondays, we're most excited because it's the start
of the
work
week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, today, our episode is, if you don't use it, you will lose it, which can go in a lot of different directions. So depending where you are, what your mood is, and where your mindset is, you could be thinking a lot like, where is this going to go? But this is actually, I'm really glad we're talking about this today, because this topic hits home a lot for me now, just in how my life has changed.
Yes.
And we talk about career and just your family and stuff. So if you don't use it, you will lose it. So what are we talking about?
I know. Well, this is something that I've been wanting to talk about for a while, and it plays into a lot of what we do here at Critical Bench, the content that we make for YouTube, our product creation and stuff. Really, obviously, what it comes down to, we're talking about this in a physical world.
Mm-hmm.
If you are not using your body, you will lose your body.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing that, you will lose just about everything that you are wanting for yourself in this life. Movement. I love talking about movement. I've talked about movement so many times over the years. Daily movement, doesn't matter what kind of movement that it is, if it's on a recurring basis and if it's for a certain amount of time or done throughout the day, it will lead to good things. Your brain, people think our brain is designed for all the thinking.
It just sits in the skull and
just
does its thing.
Just sits in there and it just right. It's the operating system. It's making everything work. It's releasing hormones and it's helping your digestive system and it's helping you absorb nutrients and it's helping your organs function. It's doing all this thing. But guess what? Your brain's number one purpose is to move your body. It's its number one purpose is movement. And so I think people need to realize that sometimes, because what happens in our world when we stop moving, our body instantly has a negative reaction and starts to deteriorate and break down, atrophy, all these things that we don't want. I had a friend, I take you back to a quick story before we really dive into all this stuff. I had a friend of mine, dear close friend in high school, who had bacterial pneumonia. Mm. And he was in a hospital bed. It had been less than a week, Tanya. I walked in the room. I didn't recognize the kid.
Yeah.
When you don't eat and when you don't move, your body dies fast. And he had lost like 40 pounds in the span of like a week. He looked like a shell of himself. He looked like a skeleton. We couldn't believe it. And this was like, I believe this was junior year in high school. Luckily, he was able to come through this and battle back and get home. And then all we did was feed and exercise this kid, right, to get him back to where he needed to be. And see, he's still got the huge shark bite scar that goes from his sternum all the way back around his back. But that was I just remember how much that got my attention in terms of, wow, as big and strong and physical as this guy was in a week's time.
Just wasted away.
He wasted away. He looked like, he looked like an 80-year-old man on the brink of death. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. And so this is something that I've been passionate about my whole life is movement. Mm-hmm. And I think where it starts is with defining what sedentary really means.
We really need to, because I think largely people kind of get it. If you're sedentary, you're not really moving a whole lot. And yet it's, if I'm being honest with myself, my lifestyle's gotten incredibly sedentary, yet I go into the gym and I lift, and I don't just willy-nilly. I go in there with you guys and I like to lift heavy. So I'm doing the gym. I love athletics and stuff. I mean, I love that. But I've gotten into that workflow mode. I'm also a workhorse, so I get up early, I do some work at home, I get in here, I work. Oh, okay, better work out. That doesn't make me active. Because when I compare the time spent in the gym working out versus the time I spend at a computer, I'm truly sedentary. I've gotten sedentary. I'm not happy about it.
Think about the the life between what you do for a living, which is a lot of sitting at a computer, same for me, versus a life where you are in construction.
Oh, moving all the time, bending, rotating, twisting, and actually not just moving, but the joints are being moved in their range of motion. Things are being exercised by default, which is awesome. And I even know fitness coaches, some very good friends of mine that are fitness coaches. They coach people and they've said, I'm sedentary. I've got 12 hours a day of client check-ins and I squeeze in my workout, but then I'm sitting and doing client check-ins all day long.
Right.
So it's kind of like, what?
Does 1 hour of exercise, even if you're the most aggressive athlete in the gym for that hour,
that's right,
it's not going to offset the other 12 hours of sitting on your butt.
That's right.
It's not going to work.
Yeah.
And that's where we as a society have really started to fall off and dip.
And it's easy. I'm not justifying it. It's easy to slip into that. Mm-hmm. And I know I'll get home at the end of the day. I'm like, hey, just go for a walk. I'm tired. And yet the other thing is, if I did that walk, if I did something or went to a yoga class or something, I would have more energy.
Yes.
It would pick me up.
Yeah.
But
movement begets movement.
That's
it's
right.
It's like people have it backwards,
yes.
Right? They think, oh, if I'm physically active, I'm going to be absolutely worn out.
No.
Actually, no, it's you energize yourself when you move your body.
Yeah, bring in oxygen.
What do people want to do when they're sitting and they're feeling lethargic and sluggish? They want to go drink an energy drink or have a coffee. You know what's even more energizing? Get up, walk, have some water, go outside for 5 or 10 minutes, get some fresh sunlight, vitamin D. And guess what? That's going to work better than your energy drink. And you're going to feel better.
Absolutely.
It's not chemically altered stuff. You're not relying on caffeine. You're relying on movement, on water.
Oxygen.
On these things that are proven scientifically to be way more powerful, right? And we know this. In terms of subconsciously, I think everyone realizes, like, yes, I should, if I walk more, you know, if I'm outside getting some sun, don't go outside and get burned, you know, put a hat on, walk in the shade, put some sunscreen on, like, be smart. But sunlight is helpful, beneficial.
Yeah, at least 15 minutes.
Right.
At least 15 minutes on you, you know.
It's good.
It's good for you.
It is good for you. And it's good for you mentally, too.
Oh, absolutely. You know. Absolutely. And these are, when we talk about sedentary lifestyle, We're not pigeonholing. Like, the people that are sedentary are not necessarily lazy, not good people.
No.
I know a lot of very fit, healthy, like, you know, healthy, vibrant, successful people that, they do their gym workouts and stuff, but because of the nature of what they're doing and you have all these responsibilities, you just, you know, you got work responsibilities, family responsibilities, you know, you're bringing in the paycheck, you're in that mode of adulting and you kind of get in that zone and it's so easy to become. Because when I compare my lifestyle now compared to like before, like Canada and New Zealand, I didn't stop. I was constantly on the move and moving, and it's just come to, like, sometimes, some days I'm like, man, I've just got to come to a grinding halt. I've got to do something about this.
Right.
You know, it's like, well, just one more hour of work and then I'll do it. And then I'm almost finished this thought. Okay, another 30 minutes. And then it just goes and goes and goes. And I have to be a lot more disciplined and going, nope, just go. Because I know too, by doing that, when I come back, I'm probably going to have 1,000 more better thoughts to finish what I was doing.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
It is so true. One last thing about we like to slap labels on things, right? And then there's a connotation that comes with that. You know, so if people hear the word sedentary, they think older and they think lazy
and overweight and all these awful
overweight
images.
But none of those things have to be the case. You can be me.
Yeah,
I would say I'm on the verge of a sedentary.
Mm-hmm.
People be like, really? Well, just because for a living, I sit at a computer.
Yeah.
I have to go out of my way, same with you, to find moments in the day. And I think we're pretty good here. We're every 60, 90 minutes, 2 hours, we're up, we're moving,
for
a walk.
We're good at holding each other accountable.
We do.
You know.
Luckily, we have filming days where the whole day is movement.
Yeah.
You know,
team workout, which team everybody, workouts. It's like, you know, it's that inner challenge, like, I'm going to do better than that.
Right, right. But there are days where I look and I go, gosh, I only had 5,000 steps today. That's pathetic.
I know.
Pathetic.
I know. That's me. I'm like, oh.
If I don't get at least 10 or 12,000 steps in a day, I feel like a slug.
And I don't sleep good. If I don't get at least 10, I, like last night, because yesterday was a big day, content day and meetings and stuff. So I didn't even get I missed the yoga because I worked from home in the morning. So, and I didn't get my workout in because I had one big project I wanted to get done. And same thing, I got home and I was like, oh, and I forgot something. So I got on the computer, started working again, go to bed. And I laid there and I had probably the worst, hands down, the worst sleep ever. Like I've had in like several days. It was just terrible, terrible.
It's a great thing to, it's a great thing to mention though, too, is you will, the more you move in your day, the better your body will do of sleeping.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Your body is, like I said, your brain and your body designed for movement. And when you move well, and you move for a certain amount of time or frequency in the day, when you finally go horizontal, you will fall asleep faster and most likely sleep better and sleep
consistent,
deeper.
Consistent, yeah.
And it's just no question about it. Those days where I'm really out there moving and you sit down and finally relax at the end of the day and you just feel yourself drifting off. Your body's ready now to go to bed. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to try. You're like passing out. I used to love that. Back when I was, you know, in my earlier 20s and still quite active, I would just get home from work. I'd have like a little something to eat or whatever, you know, it'd be between 8, 9 o'clock. And I could just feel myself slipping away. And I'm like in my early 20s. I didn't want to stay up late. I was active from 5 a.m. till, you know, 7 o'clock at the end of the day, working with coaching clients and stuff. You know, this is 20 years ago, right when I was in the thick of my training years.
Yeah.
And I was passing out at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Just done.
Yeah.
I was done.
Yeah,
I had to be up at 4:30 anyway.
Right.
So what am I trying to stay up for?
Our team would like to thank you so much for listening to the Strong by Design podcast. And if you're enjoying today's show, please share this episode with at least one friend or family member who will benefit from this message. And please subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Go to strongbydesignpodcast.com. That's strongbydesignpodcast.com. Let's get back to the show.
I want to talk about children.
They never stop.
Children never stop moving.
And they do everything at running speed. Notice that children rarely walk unless they're forced to. Everything is running. Like, can you go get this? Boom. They're like constant. Everything's fast speed.
It is.
It's awesome.
It's great. It's like watching a movie on fast forward, right?
Yeah, they don't do anything. Like, go pick up your clothes. You know?
Or they skip. To go pick up their clothes, right?
Yeah.
Or they dance their way to pick up their clothes, right? What if more adults did that stuff? Where we just, you know, you get out of the car to go to the grocery store.
And
instead of just walking, you danced, you side shuffled, you did a cartwheel, whatever it is. But that's why the kids' bodies are so great and nimble and everything.
And why they're so happy.
Why they're so happy, right? It's just constant movement.
Yeah.
Imagination. You know, and when those two worlds come together, movement with imagination and creativity and all that stuff, it's just a wonderful thing. And what it does is, though, it opens you up. It opens the body up to knowing what's possible, how the body, it can move in so many different ways. Kids can do cartwheels and tumbles and all that stuff. And then what happens is this really awful thing that I've talked about, what happens when we get out of our teenage years, it all of a sudden becomes okay to stop doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
We don't go to playgrounds anymore. We don't have...
You got to grow up.
Right. We don't have recreation anymore the same way. We don't go out for a pickup game of basketball or football or baseball or soccer or whatever the sport is. And then what happens is our bodies are not subject to all those different angles, the jumping and the rolling and the tumbling and the twisting and all. And then we tighten up, we stiffen up. And then our muscles, are just, they're not getting the same stimulus. And the connective tissues and the bones and all these things, right? And then all of a sudden we just start to feel old. If we kept moving.
Yeah.
And it's people that keep moving.
Yeah.
That maintain this. Like, you look at this, like Bob Brubaker, who was here like a month or so ago, right?
Yeah.
That we had. He's a triathlete. He still trains like a triathlete.
Yeah.
Did that guy look like he was 70 years old?
No, he didn't.
You know what I'm saying? He looked like he was 50.
Yeah.
He's shaved probably 20 years off his look, his appearance, and his
vibrancy,
vitality,
just his energy.
His vibrancy,
yeah.
His energy, yeah. Right? He's never stopped moving in his life. And this is a guy who almost died of a lung issue that he had like 15 years ago. And he rebounded beautifully from it. And he's done 19 Ironmans in his life. He did a 168-mile bike ride. This is a guy who's like 70.
Yeah, he looks phenomenal.
That would crush me.
Oh, I'd be on the side of the road getting sick.
Take me 5 days to drive, ride my bike that far. He did it in one day.
Yeah.
And, so it just goes to show you what you're capable of when you don't stop.
Right.
This great stuff that you're doing when we're younger, and these hobbies and activities and games and stuff like that. And obviously there's a level of maturity that's going to kick in as an adult, as an adult, where you lose the interest in certain things. But I know there's that kid inside all of us that wishes that we were still doing some of the things that brought us such joy in movement and when we were younger.
So I have a question for you about that, because I agree. But I want to ask you about the difference. Like, I know what it was like when I was a kid growing up compared to even when I had my kids and they were little, how different the world is. So let's talk about activity and all of that. From our generation to today in the world of social media and computers and laptops and iPhones. And I mean, everybody, I mean, the minute they can use their hands, they've got an iPhone or an iPad or something like that. So
it's unbelievable, isn't it? Growing up, we had an Atari system in the 80s, right? But the Atari was really just for like the weekends.
Yeah.
And for like maybe early in the day. Or at the end of the day, we were not like playing video games at like noon. You know what I mean? Like, when I think of my childhood, one of the last things I think about is how much time we spent playing Atari.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it was fun and it was a novelty. But you know what was more fun? Riding my bike.
Yeah.
This is a funny story. I used to get up in the morning, like a lot of kids. Mm-hmm. When you're, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, you get up, you wake up early,
yeah.
right? And you're ready for the day. You're fired up. You're waking up before your parents and stuff. I would wake up and I would go down and look at my bike and I would wipe it down and I used to clip the playing cards onto the spokes.
Yeah, so they make did.
Yeah. I used to do all that stuff. Yeah. But I loved my bike. I loved because I could go fast, right?
Yeah.
And but my parents told me, can't leave the house till 7. Like, that was like, I don't know why I remember that. It was probably just some silly rule
community
that they
rule,
had.
Like,
on the weekends, like, don't leave the house till 7 a.m. Maybe it was based on the sunrise or something. And so, as soon as 7 hit, opened the garage door and I was out on my bike, like exploring my neighborhood, which was nice that I could do that as a kid without fear of whatever the world. But it was a different time. This is the early 80s. Beyond that, what was it? It was playing in the woods.
Oh yeah. I love
playing
that.
War or something with my toy gun or climbing.
Tree houses and climbing trees.
Oh my gosh.
And all that stuff.
We lived for that, you know? And that was my day. Anything we could do that was, I can only imagine if I had a step counter when I was a kid, it'd probably be at 30,000 steps. I don't know what it would have been.
Oh, that'd be crazy.
You're just never stopping. Yeah. Right. But, the changing world, right, that we live in today, it's so tech heavy for all of us, adults and children.
Don't have
children,
to leave the house for anything
for
anymore.
Anything.
And then especially, I think, like with coronavirus and all the lockdowns and stuff that happened, clearly the world had to adjust to that, because if you're telling people they can't leave their house, well, you still need essential life services. So how do you get this to people? And like that, to me, it was like, wow, you actually, if you never wanted to leave your house ever, you don't have to. Like, you honestly don't have to.
Yeah. And unfortunately, there's people that were quickly drawn into that lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, it was an easy transition for them, because they were already kind of close to that.
Yeah.
Oh, now I can just have everything delivered.
Yeah.
Don't have to leave, because I'm not supposed to leave.
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to be around people. Mm. Well, yes and no. I mean, getting outside for some fresh air and some sunshine and social distancing would be fine. And we did that. I mean, I remember, in fact, I almost felt more of a connection to my community once that all took place, because there were so many people out and about walking, keeping their distance and doing all that stuff. But people had to be out of their house, man, with their children.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We were gone. I mean, and this was like, late April. It was only like several weeks into the whole phenomenon of COVID, So I just... movement in today's world is different. It looks different than it did years ago, because it was pre-computers, pre-internet, pre-all that stuff. I had a typewriter growing up. you know, doing papers. Mm-hmm. You know, it was either handwritten or it was on a typewriter.
Right.
We didn't have
any of that
stuff.
Or you just told somebody.
Yeah.
You just spoke to them.
And I'm not even that old. I'm in my mid-40s, but yet, even in high school, I didn't have my own computer even through college. I used a computer lab. I don't even know if they have that.
Oh, God. Weren't those awful?
Yeah.
They were awful because the computers never worked.
Yeah, there was always an issue.
Printers never worked. Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to go up and get someone's help. You know, this thing's not connected to the printer or whatever. Yeah. You know? And this isn't that long ago. This is like early, mid-90s. And but anyway, I think the point here, though, is that we need to, in a tech-heavy world, find a reason to still get out.
Yeah,
and move.
And move.
Luckily, you know, we're in Florida. We're in such a good situation.
Yeah.
I could only wish that the people listening had what we have.
Yeah, we're very lucky.
Yes. We have beaches everywhere. We have parks everywhere.
Oh, we
playgrounds
took a walk,
everywhere.
A lunch break walk the other day and saw an alligator and turtles.
Yes, we did.
Amazing.
Monday, we had our team meeting on Monday, like we always do. But instead, we went and had lunch together, had our quick meeting at lunch. Over food, and then what would we do? We went and walked around a whole nature trail.
Yeah,
saw birds and alligators. I found a frisbee in the water.
That's right. Apparently, a really good one. I don't know much about
whammo.
Frisbees, but Coach Chris was excited.
It was a whammo. you can't leave a whammo on the ground like that. That was a whammo. And so anyway, it was fun and it was good. It was fresh air. It was sunshine. We helped our bodies digest our meals. And we came back and we were productive at work and felt good.
Mm.
And that's really what we're driving at here with what we're talking about. The physiology and the psychology,
I think is
really important to touch on. Mm-hmm. In your experience, what is, we'll get to physiological stuff, the psychology behind it, behind, you know, movement of the body. What comes to mind when you think about that?
You mean as far as like how movement affects psychology?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It definitely makes, it's definitely a mood booster for sure. I mean, when you're moving and you get things going and you know, because when you start exercising or even just if you're walking, because sometimes people think, well, I don't like exercise. That word can make people go all kinds of twitchy, weird ways, right? But just let's say out walking, you know, your breath has to change to accommodate and sustain your walk. So you're just by default going to be breathing a little deeper. So that means bringing in more oxygen. Oxygen makes us happy. Like it just bringing that in because our cells need it. So it's an energy boost. When you have more energy, you feel better. And like I know for myself, if I can't go, I mean, I say that I'm sedentary compared to what I have been in my life, definitely. But if I don't, if I don't move, I get into a funk. Like it really affects me. I'm not as happy. I lose that kind of bubbliness that I tend to have.
Yeah.
I don't think as well. I get in a funk. And yet the what's really kind of the weird dynamic in that is that for people that find themselves in that emotional funk, it can be really hard in that place to make yourself get up and move. So it's something you have to force it. And once you start doing it, it's like, okay, it's kind of like, you know, when it could be a team workout, Dan, I could be like, oh, I really want to get this done. But then I go out and do the workout and it's like, I'm so glad I did it. So, but on a more serious level for people that find themselves maybe in a depressive state, which we saw a lot of that happening with lockdown. There was, depressed, like all kinds of things, like psychological, emotional issues kind of skyrocketed. Like all of a sudden therapists were really needing their own therapists because they were inundated with people. So when depression hits, whether it's mild to severe, exercise can become a very vital part of that healing recovery process, but it can be so difficult to initiate it. That's where like reaching out and having a buddy or something. But, you know, moving will make you feel better emotionally, intellectually, psychologically. Absolutely.
Albert Einstein, one of my favorite quotes, and this is obviously one of the most brilliant men in history.
Yeah.
Nothing happens until something moves.
Exactly.
And it's one of the truest statements.
That's of all things.
It's all,
all things.
Nothing
energy,
happens until you
atoms.
Take action, right?
Yeah.
And so it's a kickstart for everything, yeah. for your systems. You digest better when you move.
Yes.
You circulate blood better yeah. when you move. Your brain works better when you're moving. There yeah. is science behind this. Ben yeah. Greenfield talks about, he does everything standing.
Yes. With his podcast, he's on a treadmill. If you do a podcast with yes. him, he's on a treadmill.
Your brain is more stimulated, better activated, and just cognitive function is, yeah. is increased when you're vertical and you're moving your body. And we think better on our feet. We really do.
Absolutely.
We don't think very well when we're sitting on our bums.
Yeah.
And so stand-up desk. I'm getting the cart before the okay. horse here. We have other stuff to touch on.
Thank you so much for listening to the Strong by Design podcast. This episode is brought to you by MetabolicStretching.net, a revolutionary flow of simple stretches that melt body fat, tone muscles, and leave you feeling full of energy in just 15 minutes. Visit MetabolicStretching.net to torch stubborn body fat fast and stretch your way lean. That's MetabolicStretching.net.
You wrote something down here
yeah,
that I want you to talk about.
Well, let's stop, before we get to that,
okay.
let's just talk a little bit more about the physiology,
oh, okay, yeah, I did
too. The physiology, that's really just the what's happening in the body itself,
yeah.
right? So you have the psychology, which is the mental side, and then you have the physiology, the physical side, what's happening in the body. When you move, you're helping your connective tissue. You're helping your bone structure, strengthening your bones. You're stimulating, obviously, all the muscles of the body. You're stimulating nerves. You're and we just talked a little bit about digestive system, circulation, your lymphatic system. Every system in the body is positively impacted from movement.
Absolutely.
Every single system. So, and as I said at the very beginning, our brains are our purpose. Their number one purpose is movement. It's movement, and that's movement within the body and movement of the body in the physical world. Mm-hmm. And so, the physiology is. I mean, there's so much. Just about every study that I was looking at prior to this conversation was hitting on the fact that sitting and sedentary living is about the worst thing that you could, in terms of it having an impact on you having cancer or having disease of some kind, or, you know, it's yeah. your
impacts your longevity for sure.
Oh my, unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Diabetes, like it helps, it affects your insulin, it affects everything. So the more we can move frequently on a daily, and which we touched on again, it doesn't matter if you move a lot in an hour, but if the rest of the day, you're idle and you're sitting on your butt. Well, you're really costing yourself a lot. So find a way to, you know, yes, sure, get your hour, but find other ways. And we're going to get into that deeper. But okay, so you wanted I wrote something down, and you were like, yeah. and that's what we're talking about yeah. right now. Anyway,
I love
really.
It, and I want to talk about it because I think it's a great term, the couch potato phenomenon.
It is. It's the active couch potato.
Active couch. Oh, right. Sorry. See, I keep taking my glasses off.
It's okay.
Active couch potato phenomenon.
Let's do one of those charts.
Yeah, I know a chart. Yeah, forget it.
Hold it up.
It's hopeless.
My wife years ago, before we get, she had LASIK done like right before we met,
okay.
like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And then her eyes are like giving her trouble
changing
again.
Changing now, yeah.
They're changing.
So they do change.
I think she has to go back and get a second procedure.
Probably.
Anyway, so active couch potato phenomenon is exactly what we're talking about here. You can be a super athlete.
Mm-hmm.
You can be somebody that does vigorous workouts. But if you are finding yourself sitting idle and not moving the body for, say, you're at home watching movies, you're home playing video games, you're home sitting, doing whatever it is, reading, driving in a car, these people that drive for a living, right? So it doesn't matter if you are really good about hitting the gym for that hour 5 days a week, and you can be like, and that's great. That's better than most people. Like if you go and you work out, you know, 5 hours a week at a gym or at your home gym or whatever you're doing, you're running, you know, that's fantastic. But if the other, you know, 12 hours of awake time, 12, 13, 14 hours of time awake are devoted to sitting idle and not moving, you are this, you define this. You are an active couch potato.
Yeah.
You are somebody that can be physically fit looking, but what's happening is
not moving.
You're not moving enough in your life. So your eating habits might be dialed in and stuff, but you're at some point, all of that sitting is going to cost you. It's going to cost you in your mobility. It's going to cost you in stimulating certain, like the hip flexor, right? The hips. You're going to lose all kinds of athleticism in terms of a bone structure. And when you're sitting, like I said, the body is designed for movement. And when you're not stimulating muscles that stimulate your bone structure, you get these weak, fragile bones that will deteriorate over years. Even if you're fit looking, you might be pretty brittle because you're not testing that body, moving that body, and hitting the body in different ways throughout the day, the way it's like a child would, and that's why kids are like rubber, right? They just bounce right back up if they fall because their bodies are just so mechanically like
they're
superior,
they're tuned in,
right? To like where we are when we're 30, 40, 50 years old, a lot of us, So if a teenager like trips and falls, he just tumbles and right back up like it never happened.
Yeah, they come home all scraped and bruised and like, I'm fine. Right. Like, well, you look like you were in a war.
Right. Exactly. To them, that's just whatever.
That's just the day.
The body can handle it. Yeah. It can handle it. But, this active couch potato thing, don't be that person that is really patting yourself on the back for all your great exercising, right? At the gym that week, but really what the rest of your day look like, what's your lifestyle look like, and so the morning evening walks, the lunch walks, the getting, we're gonna get to that.
There's a difference, I think, if I'm hearing you correctly, there's a difference between exercising regularly and having an active lifestyle.
Huge difference.
Yeah. And I think that's what people need to understand, that difference and the impact. And I want us to get into that because I know you've got some really good tips. People have been listening, they're following, they're like, oh my gosh, I'm that active couch potato and I want to be. So what do they do? What do we do? What do I do? I have to put an alarm in my phone. I know that.
I'll tell you what, the alarm and the phone has been a good trick for me to remember to do things in my day. We all are busy, 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 and you can set little alarms for yourself for all kinds of things, whether it's a meeting, whether it's a, text your friend or, write in your journal, read a book, stand up more. So what are ways that you can combat this sedentary life, this active couch potato living that so many of us are guilty of? And I would include myself in that category certain days of the week.
I'm including myself. Yeah. And I also want to make sure that we impress upon people, this does not mean that you have to give up hours of, like, we understand, you especially, because you still have a young family. My kids are all grown now, but you have responsibilities. Like, you have family responsibilities. You also coach your son's ball team. There's like just family time. So, when we are impressing upon people the importance of being active for their own overall health and longevity, I'm thinking like, I need to get better because I want to see my grandchildren and play soccer and do fun things with them. It's not like, oh, well, now I got to do this, but I work, I have a job, I've got, we understand that. We understand that. So take it away.
Well, number one, walking's is one of the number one things that we can do more of. Everyone benefits from walking, young or old, and everything in between. So find ways. And it can be little, it doesn't have to be some big long walk. It could be 5 or 10 or 15 or 20
after
minutes.
After supper with the family.
Yes.
It
benefits, again, so much. Like I said, it kicks in all of these different processes of the body, helps you digest your food and circulate your blood better and strengthens your bones and just helps your mental state. So more walking every single day is probably the number one thing, right? But finding other things that you enjoy that's movement based, like going on a bike, going on a walk in the woods, something a little different. That's I enjoy hiking even more than I do walking, just because it's so the terrain, when there's terrain differences and when you're in like in nature a little bit more, I love that. Swimming, obviously, jogging. So those are all kind of like the, you know, the basics when people think of cardio,
right?
But yeah, cardio machines are fine, but whenever you have the opportunity, I always say what's better is the real thing is always better than the fake thing. Mm-hmm. But if fake is all you got, if you have to do a stationary bike or a treadmill or an arc trainer or whatever, that a rowing machine, those are all fine and they get results. But you know, the outdoor when element, I think, just really adds, makes it more pleasurable for everybody. And then I put a hobby or an activity.
Yeah.
That is something that you enjoy that requires movement. This could be a game of some kind. This could be dancing of some kind. This could be, I'm trying to think, you know, obviously with my son, I coach his baseball.
Yeah.
So I'm just, I love sports. So, you know, we'll go out back with like three things. We'll go out back with our gloves, a ball, a frisbee of some kind, or a, you know, disc of some kind, and maybe even like a football. And we just go through one. We start with one, and we'll throw the ball. We'll do like 100 catches in a row or something. And then we'll throw the frisbee for a little bit. And we have the dog out with us, so we're throwing the stick, you know. And then we'll go, so we'll just go from one activity to another and break it up, because kids love that. They don't like to do one thing for too long.
No.
Right. So they'll do one thing for a little bit. And then, but what's great is now I'm getting like so much accomplished. A, I'm outside. B, I'm with my kid. C, I'm moving. D, I'm playing.
You're happy.
I'm having fun. So, I mean, so much is happening, and it didn't take long. And after 20 or 30 minutes, sometimes he's like, all right, I'm good, Dad. Can we go back in? Or it's hot, or, you know, it's Florida, so it gets hot in the middle of the day. No problem. We'll go back in. But, you know, so much good happened in that, and we just took care of a physical need. And it was fun. And so I encourage people, hearken back to those years when you were younger, and what activity or hobby that you did brought you joy. Bring that back into the fold. Somehow find a way to make that important for you again, and carve out some time for yourself.
We're
in such a go-go crazy world, right? And we're always like giving everyone else the best of ourselves, but we save very little for ourselves. So we need to do a better job of giving ourselves those 20, 30, 45 minute breaks of activity. Standing more throughout your day. Just finding,
get up and stand,
finding ways to stand. And you know, I, for the longest time, I was using my stand-up desk,
you did. You had a stand-up desk.
Like for like 3 years, I was using the heck out of it. Guess
what happened? Chair is just like only in the last couple months.
Right.
Because you changed your office around.
Well, I changed my office around. I got a new computer set up and stuff. My feet started hurting.
Right.
But I think because I overdid, So I started standing all day. The key, I think, with a stand-up desk is having it as an option and doing that like for an hour a day or maybe for half-hour chunks or at the beginning and the end of the day, finding moments in the day where you can do some of your work at a workstation from a standing position can be really helpful. So many of us work on a computer at some point in our day. And so anytime you can do that standing, it's terrific. And I do highly recommend it. But don't do what I was doing. I was putting in 8-10 hour days
and you were there
never
all day.
Sitting. So I wouldn't do that either, because then then you're standing in one spot and my feet started bugging me.
What are your thoughts on, and not like, I mean, I think it's good to switch positions, sitting, standing to, you know, whatever, but what are your thoughts on, because I was actually going to give it a try today only because I, you know, my hips, I've got the back issues, I've got spina bifida, degenerative disc and all that fun stuff. People that tend to sit on it use a Swiss ball, because that is going to engage some core. It's going to be, so you're kind of like without even, it's not like full on exercise, but there is movement happening. To sit there and do your work and keep yourself from falling on the floor.
Well, it's more of a, you can't really slouch on a stability ball,
Because you're going to end up on your butt.
So it is more of a good posture fixer, as well as a, you know, a trunk You have to stabilize your core.
Yeah.
I think sometimes people forget that the number one function of the abdominals is to stabilize the spine.
Mm-hmm.
It's the number one thing. Mm-hmm. It's not to have a ripped six pack. You know, it's not to just look good aesthetically.
Yeah, at the beach.
Right. It's not to be able to do more crunches and sit-ups.
Yeah.
The number one function of the of that part of the body is to support and strengthen the spine area. And it's when people have the weaker abdominal muscles and then their back bothers them.
Yes.
Well, yeah, because now your back is trying to stabilize.
Do all the work.
Do all the work. So you have to have that balance between the front and the back.
Yeah.
And so stability ball is a great option. Now, again, don't sit on it for 8 hours.
Right.
Maybe say, okay, I'm going to start my day on the stability ball, or I'm going to finish my day on the stability ball. Or I'm going to set an alarm, and I'm going to have an hour of work on a stability ball, whatever. Or I'm going to stand for an hour. So that's why I wrote here how to find more ways to stand in your day. So stand when you eat your lunch or something. Take more water breaks.
Yeah. Park further away.
Park. That's a great one. I love that one for when you go shopping.
Yeah. I always try to find the farthest.
Yeah.
Well, of course, I'm also geographically, I've got no sense of direction. So I really have to be careful because I'm like, where did I park? Which is good because I'll wander around. I could get 10,000 steps wandering around a parking lot.
Take a picture of your car.
I do. I do that. The last time I was at the International Mall, I took a B9. I took a picture of it. And then if I'm at the airport, I take a picture of the number.
No, that's I do that.
I have to.
I do that.
Because I can't remember.
If I'm flying somewhere, I will take
myself.
A picture. Otherwise, you're like, I'm never going to remember in 4 days when I get back where I parked if I don't take a picture.
But parking further away is an easy one to do.
Yes, it is.
You know?
And it's a good thing, too, because usually you separate yourself from the chaos of finding the close spot.
Yeah.
And if you're really one of those people who cares about your health and moving more, who cares if you have to walk an extra 38 seconds
you'll
to get to your car?
Because you don't want to carry it back.
Right? Or you got a cart anyway. Just push the cart a little further.
Yeah.
So that's a really good one. But the more water break one is really good, too, because all of us can benefit from more water.
Water.
And so find more times to get up and go get yourself a nice big cup of water. So now you just got some steps, probably 200 steps to just go and get your water and come back.
Mm-hmm.
The stand-up desk. And then the alarm setting, which we alluded to. I probably have 7 to 10 different alarms on a weekly basis in my phone that remind me of certain things that are on a recurring basis in my week. And some of them are to prompt something physical. Some of them are just a meeting reminder, but it's you can have them for just about anything, and they're just it's helpful.
Yeah,
and you can do that on your smartwatch or on your smartphone or whatever you got.
Thank you so much for listening to the Strong by Design podcast. To help our show reach more listeners just like you, please let us know how we've changed your life by leaving a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. Go to strongbydesignpodcast.com. That's strongbydesignpodcast.com. Let's get back to the show.
I think we've nailed down what we're driving at here with the if you're not using it, you're losing it.
Yeah.
And it's that age old, obviously, phrase, right? I don't know when that started. If you don't use it, you lose it.
Yeah.
It's probably been around for 50
Ever.
Plus years.
Yeah.
I mean, long before I was around. And it's like that with anything in life. Repetition is what gets results.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to learn how to play an instrument, you don't just practice once and you're great.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do it repetitively, consistently, dedicate the time, and over a period of time, you're going to get good. Now, even if you got good, but then you stopped, and then a period of time went by, could you just pick that instrument back up and just nail it just like you used to? Or would you have some time needed to get back into a groove?
Yeah.
Certainly, there'd be some basic foundation skills maybe that you would retain. But ultimately, what it is that you need that consistency and that repetition. And that's like anything in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just do something once or just a few times and expect great results to happen.
Yeah.
So you might be super fit now in your 30s, 40s, or 50s, But what are you going to do? Just, okay, I've done my 50 years of exercise. I'm good now.
Yeah.
Like, now I'm not going to do that anymore. No, it's like, no, it's a lifestyle. It's a choice. It's a daily thing. Mm-hmm. And that if you're not moving your body will start to break down very quickly. It only takes a matter of days. It doesn't matter. If my body stopped moving for a whole week and I just sat or laid down on a bed, everything in my body would start to change.
Yeah.
Everything. In terms of fat, muscle breakdown.
Metabolism,
right? Your BMR, right? Your basal metabolic rate would tank. So it's ultimately, I'll make one more quick point. The more muscle you have, right? We know this. The more your body is just a consumer, a consuming machine.
It's a machine.
It's a machine. So it's like feeding the beast, right? When you put some, and I'm not saying bodybuilder muscle. I'm just saying
lean muscle
from exercise resistance training of some kind. That mm-hmm. could be yoga. That could be working with mini bands, suspension straps, body weight, whatever it is that you like to do. When you start to get some of that muscle going, and that's strengthening not just muscle, connective tissue, bone, easy for me to say, bone, all that stuff, you are doing more after your workout mm-hmm. to get fit and strong because of that 6 to 8 hour window that happens after a good resistance training session.
Right.
Everything in your body is functioning at a better, higher level, and you are just churning through those calories that come into the system. So your body just operates at a much different level when you move on a regular basis. And the last point I'll make is that construction worker that we talked about in the beginning. Sure, there's out of shape people that go to the gym, just like there's out of shape people that work in construction, right? But generally speaking, if you are a person, a man or a woman who's on their feet, and I just say construction because to me that's a profession where movement is essential.
What's necessary?
You're up and down on scaffolding, you're up on roofs, you got big heavy tools and stuff that you're working. Those guys probably don't have to hit the gym. Now some of them do. Mm-hmm. You ever seen how strong a guy's hand is or his arms when he works in that profession? Mm-hmm. He's not in the gym doing curls. He doesn't need to. He's picking up 40-pound nail guns and whatever it is. You know, he's hammers and wrenches and screwdrivers and you know, whatever he's doing, heavy equipment, big piece of wood and stuff all day long, every day. God knows what they're doing for calorie burning in a day. Mm-hmm. I couldn't imagine. What, a 10-hour day of working in construction? You must burn a couple thousand calories, no?
Yeah.
I mean, no problem.
Yeah.
And that's just from your job. That's not what your body will burn just function. Like your digestive system helps you, you know, it requires a certain amount of energy to work, all this stuff. So what you do on a daily basis from when you wake up, evaluate that for yourselves right now. From when you wake up to when you go to bed, how many hours in that day are you actually moving on your feet?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's under an hour, or if it's if your only movement is your one workout, and then you got to start to make some change. You got to start to shift some things around and find ways to bring movement into your 12 to 15 hours of awake time.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no question about it. No. You will lose your body, and in doing that, you will lose your mental edge. You will lose your passions a little bit. You will lose drive. You will lose all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Your hormones don't drip the same way, you know, when you're not doing the daily activity, the daily movement.
Absolutely. One of the single biggest things you can do to positively impact your life is to move.
Without question.
Well, I know that I'm remotivated to, you know, just
get my butt
in gear and step away from the computer more, because the work will get done. The work always gets done, right? So good advice for me, good solid advice. Hopefully this has motivated you, inspired you to maybe make some changes. I also want to mention that, you know, as parents, we're always telling our kids what they have to do. That's, you know, they have to eat their vegetables. They have to do their homework. They have to go to bed at a certain time. And we can preach and preach to them all that we want. And ultimately, they are going to see what we're doing. And that is probably the biggest impact because it's visual. So if we're telling kids they need to go out and play, they need to get exercise, then we should be modeling that as well. So it's also, I think it's our duty as parents and maybe not even just parents to our own kids, but just as adults to model and show other children, this is just what you do. You move. So you keep moving. So keep that in mind as well. Thanks, Coach Chris.
You're very
welcome.
This
was fun. This was fun. Hopefully you enjoyed this. Please share it. You know, this is a great podcast to share with somebody. Maybe sit and listen to with your significant other, even with your children, and come up with a family plan, a movement plan, an activity plan for the week so that everybody's supporting one another to be more active and move. We would love it if you would leave us a 5-star review, tell your friends and family about our show, and share our podcast with them. If you have any comments, please leave those. We love reading those comments. They just help us, they make us feel good, and they help us to come up with other relevant content that you want to hear, because if you tell us what you want to hear, we will do a show about it.
Yeah,
so
we will. We need content.
We need
right?
content. So, you know, I'm Coach Tanya here with Coach Chris signing off. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk soon.
Thank you so much for listening to the Strong by Design podcast. If you found value in today's episode, please subscribe so that more people can find out about our show. Plus, you don't want to miss any future episodes with the amazing guests and topics we have lined up for you.